Today, we are so privileged to be joined by the Tanzanian Banking Association, and Tuse, who is the executive director there, will be speaking to us. We'll be touching on matters regarding the role of EAC banking associations in promoting cross-border growth and trade. This is the era of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, so there's so much conversation happening as far as this is concerned. I want to remind all of us that you can be part of this conversation online by tweeting at Kenya Bankers, as well as at TBA underscore for bankers. That's the Tanzania Bankers Association, at TBA underscore for bankers. Please throw in your comments. We'll be happy to look through some of them, sample them if we can, if we get the time, and as well as just bring you to be part of this conversation. The hashtag is CEO chat. The hashtag, I repeat again, is CEO chat. So to kick off our conversation, let me take this opportunity to invite Tuse to give her to give us her opening remarks for about 10 or 15 minutes, and thereafter we shall dive into the series of questions and answers. Tuse, the floor is yours. Karibu sana.
Thank you so much, Mr. Julian. Good morning once again, the team out there and the viewers who are following up this discussion. My name is Tuse, as it has been introduced. I'm the Executive Director of Tanzania Bankers Association, one of the founding members of the East African Bankers Association. We shorten it as EABA. I'm glad to be part of this CEO's chat. It's a really milestone that KBA is taking this to regional levels. We've seen it happening for years, but now we are all part of the CEOs connected through this chat. So I'm glad and happy to join you through this channel. Yes. With connection back to the topic that we have in front of us on the role of EAC Banking Association in promoting cross-border growth as well as the financial inclusion, maybe it's good to note that the EABA, which is mostly referred to as the East African Bankers Association, is an association that was formed more than 10 years ago. And the founding association was the KBA, TBA, Rwanda Bankers Association, Uganda Bankers Association, as well as Burundi Bankers Association. So the idea behind that was now that we have seen initiatives at the central bank levels, what should the Bankers Association do to complement whatever initiative that were there and the discussion that were being discussed in their meetings. So EABA was formed, and we thought one of the key objectives could be sharing of information among these the member associations, capacity buildings. At times we have seen all of us, we are trying to benchmark to the best performing association to see that we are all at par, if possible, and also facilitating cross-border issues or initiative that will promote the cross-border trading as well as promotion of the financial inclusion across the region. So with that, we are all aware of the initiatives that have been forced or that have been pushed by the political will of our leaders to ensure that we have the we achieve the integration of the East African countries. But with time, we can see that most of the discussion are more towards achieving the regional, unlike before when the idea was to have, it was more on the political side. But with that direction, that's where the Bankers Association came into a picture, and being part of the organ that will help facilitation of that integration, but also be part of the story to see the growth on the cross-border trade as well as promotion of the financial inclusion. So with that, I'll touch a bit
recording
on
what is
happening so far. What is happening so far across the border? We have seen that in East Africa, the trade volumes, comparing 2021 and 2019, we have seen a growth. The numbers in 2019, it was around 7.1 billion USD. But now that same way has grown to 15%, which is now motivating even more participation of not only East African countries, but all African countries, because we see this is the direction we all need to take. It's giving us the freedom. It's giving the freedom of trading across. But we have seen it's opening up opportunity for the countries or the state countries to participate more in areas that as African continent, we can do it within ourselves. So it's opening up to all other countries within Africa to trade within ourselves, that is intra-trade, but also opening up to other across the borders of Africa. So with that, again, we need to see some of the things happening, especially the promotion of the SME, MSME. We all know that the MSMEs somehow contributes to almost 90%, 90-95% of the industries or the businesses that we have across. But the only challenge is that, yes, there could be many as they are, but they're also having some challenges. The contribution to the GDP is not as expected comparing to the numbers they are. So their size somehow is an obstacle for them to have a bigger or a larger contribution to the GDP. We have seen that in all the countries, not only EAC region, but across the globe, that they are in volume, but their contribution in the end is a bit not as expected. So with that, we need to have some kind of collaboration across the region to see how, as Bankers Association, we could be off part of the journey to see this growth happening. We thank the central banks. They come up with the EIPS, the East African Payment System. Again, that is part of promoting the settlement across the East African countries.
Tusa, thank you very much. Someone is asking here, you spoke to the issue of MSMEs and their role in cross-border payments, or rather cross-border trade. And the issue is, with many of them being in the informal bracket, how do we formalize them? How do we bring them into the value chains that then put them on a good place for cross-border trade?
Thank you for that good question. Actually, what has been raised by the person who asked the question, the viewer, is a common problem throughout. We have seen it happening in Tanzania. We have seen it across the region. We have seen it across Africa. We have seen it across the globe, that informalities is a bigger challenge that somehow is denying the MSMEs access to more opportunities, access to credit, access to funding. And we have a number of initiatives, even at the EAC levels. The so-called industrial, the SME policy that is promoting, it's the SME development policy that is calling for all the partner states to come up with the national policies that will promote the growth of SMEs and see what are the challenges, but also set the environment that will foster the growth. Talking back to Tanzania, we have already established the SME strategy at the Minister of Finance, meaning it's now at the national level. It's just awaiting formal approval and ready for adoption by industry players. Now, what needs to be done to formalize? We believe if the government take the charge and ensure that under the industry and trade ministries, I believe we all have that ministry in our countries. So under that ministry, there have to be a way where formalization of businesses can be simplified. In Tanzania, for instance, we try to come up with the national, with the IDs that will identify the small traders, we call them machinga, but somehow there are some challenges on the ID system, but now we are moving to have it digitized. So once we have a simplified mechanism of identifying the MSME, I believe that will be the solution moving forward. Presence of the national IDs will help at one point, because we need to reach a point where when it comes to any economic transactions, we have to use biometrics to identify the user behind that. So once we reach a level where we'll embrace more of digital transactions, more of digital identification, we've seen example of India. It's a big country, but they've achieved in that. If we copy that to East Africa, I believe KYC of the MSME will be much more simplified. Now, once that is done, it will be easier even to access the mobile credit. We have them now happening everywhere. You just need the digital identification to access the same. That is at the micro level. But even at the middle level, those who need bigger loans will be easier to capture their information and ability for the institution, financial institution, to trace back where is this person? Where can I locate them? Provided we reach a point where we can use biometric, that is fingerprints, that's the easy one to identify the person behind that business or whoever is trying to access these kind of financial services across. Yeah.
Very spot on response there too, sir. Thank you so much for that. There's a question around what is the role of regional integration and trade agreements in supporting MSMEs and how they plug into these opportunities of cross-border trade?
Okay, thank you again for another good question. The East African agreements, the idea behind it, as I said it earlier, that the integration at the moment is more on seeing prosperity, is more on seeing more economic growth, is more on seeing the growth in cross-border trade and the growth of the economies in general. So having those agreements, the idea behind it is to ensure we have that uniformity that, okay, this is country A. For us to achieve A, B, C, D, let's say when it comes to customs, for us to have a free movement.
The executive director of the Tanzanian Bankers Association was speaking to the issues of free movement. The question that had been posed was the role of regional trade integration agreements in East Africa in helping micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises to plug into cross-border trade. It looks like you're back, Madam Tuse.
Thank you so much. So the major role is to ensure that for every member state, they know, together as one umbrella, as one region, what we need to achieve and by which date. So in a nutshell, they're providing a roadmap on the areas where they've agreed to collaborate and the targets they want to see for the growth as a region in general.
Thank you very much. So in responding to that question of the role of regional integration agreements in supporting MSMEs, and there's a question here around which factors have spurred regional trade in ESC region in the recent years and which interventions have been put in place by stakeholders. Just to run through it again, which factors have spurred regional trade in ESC in the recent years and which interventions have been put in place by stakeholders?
Okay, so you are referring to,
So which factors have catalyzed regional trade in East African region in the recent years, and what are some of the interventions, maybe from a bankers association standpoint, which you think have really been instrumental in driving a regional trade?
Okay, thank you again for that question. The East African partner states, in the recent past, we've seen a number of progress being made in terms of seeing we collaborate more, in terms of seeing we grow more together, in terms of seeing more cross-border trade is happening. Now, we have seen the will of our leaders, which are actually showing it clearly that they want to see a different EAC moving on. We have seen more expansion of countries joining the EAC. So we've seen DRC joining, we've seen South Sudan joining. Now we hear Ethiopia is about to join. So actually, this is a message out there that we have the political will to see this happening. But on top of that, the Bankers Association or the banking sector, which is the prerequisite to see all this economic growth happening, they've somehow come up with more innovations. We have integration in terms of the kind of regulations we are offering, the kind of central bank supervision, the areas where the world want, they all want to stand on, the like of Basel implementation, the like of requirement for anti-money laundering implementation or compliance. So there is a number of policies, a number of regulations, a number of acts that somehow they've been harmonized to see that as a region, we are moving together. As the Bankers Association, we are pushing to build capacity in terms of understanding what are the needs of the MSMEs within the region, what needs to be done to serve them, what kind of products they need to foster their growth. But recently, we have seen the agenda of climate risk, which is somehow again tying up the region players to ensure that as the EAC, as the region players, we are all embracing it and we are driving this agenda together. For this, we need to give a credit to KBA. Some years back, they came up with the principles that all of us as partner states or as members of EABA, we use them to build up on our own national principles when it comes to sustainability and sustainable financing and financial inclusion. So with that area, it's push for innovations because that is part of elements when it comes to financial sustainable financing principles. Innovation on what kind of products needs to be done, what kind of risk areas we need to address. So on the side of innovation, we have seen a bigger growth on digital payments, mobile payments, and as I spoke earlier, the integration of payment system. We have the IPS that is functioning well, but now there's an ongoing initiative to push for a more integrated platform to achieve interoperability between the EAC, SADC, and COMESA. So all these, coupled with the challenges we faced during COVID, somehow it's opened up to the banking sector players to see that how best we can do to achieve this and how best we can do or innovate to reach out to more. So with the situation we experienced during COVID, we have seen a bigger change. We have seen a bigger growth in the area of the digital financing. So we are seeing more of interoperability initiatives. But as EAC, we have an ongoing agenda of having our own switch. So we have our national switch at one point, but the ultimate goal is to have the EAC integrated switch that will somehow achieve the dream of having easy way of transacting across, but in a more affordable prices. We've seen a number of banks opening branches, and credit to Kenya again, we've seen a number of Kenya banks opening branches across the region. We believe it's just part of ensuring they serve more, they reach out more, but in the end is how we facilitate the trading to the MSMEs, but also to have more of the population included in the formal financial services. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Madam Twiste, for that response. There is a question by a viewer here, identified as Jung Ma. It says, as a young man representing the bulk of companies which are run by young people, what do we need to do to take advantage of what has been missing in order to align ourselves and make the reality of Africa being an economic superpower from the Bankers Association perspective. Essentially, this guy is asking for the young people running business ventures, what can they tap into to ensure that then they play their role in this regional economy and Africa takes its place on the global stage? Madam Tuse, if you could share some thoughts.
Okay, thank you for a good question. And I'm happy to hear it from coming from a young business person or businessman. We see that when you look at the population, the youth constitute a large number in the majority. And we have seen a number of initiatives that they try to do when it comes to the area of startups, the area of innovation. Somehow the existing policies or existing environments, they are suffocating them, in inverted commas, to grow faster. Now, being the owner of the business at that young age is a hypocrite, but the same applies to all other SMEs. There is a number of issues that needs to be considered for them to bring the impact within the EAC region, but across for their growth as well. So one of them, they need to ensure they conduct market research. They need to understand for the kind of product that they're offering, where is their market? What is the demands for that market they're targeting? If you're dealing with maize, where is the best market you can take your maize to? If you're dealing with, let's say, poultry, where is the best market which will maximize your potential and make the difference from others who are selling to others? But also they need to be aware of the existing regulatory requirements. It's so painful when you are trying to cross and you are being told for this kind of product, is you need to have 1, 2, 3 in place. Maybe it's a product that needs approvals from the drugs authorities. So maybe food and drug authorities. So they need to ensure for them, before they start moving, before they commence that, okay, this is the business I want to do, they should understand if there is any binding regulatory requirement that they need to comply with. We're seeing that as a challenge, and that's why we connect back to informalities, that the SMEs and the youth, they are suffering more when it comes to access to finance because of the KYC issues. So the absence of proper identification or proper formalization of their businesses is somehow being an obstacle for their growth or for their reaching out on more growth opportunities. But they need to have a strong online presence. Nowadays, everybody is in the social media, and a better use of the social media platforms, trust me, is the easiest way to promote their businesses. The likes of Instagram is used a lot when it comes to marketing or promotion of the products that you have. So they can make a proper use of their presence in their online platforms to ensure the larger population come across. If they have to, then they can sponsor their pages so that it will reach out to more to ensure that even if you didn't know there is this product, but the moment you open, let's say, YouTube, you see their product first being advertised because it has been sponsored. So it's pushing for all viewers to see the product first before they access whatever is free for that matter. But also they need to leverage on e-commerce platforms. Again, it connects back to innovation. It connects back to online presence. We have seen the advent of card usage. We have seen the advent of digital payments. And I talked about integration of payment switches. So when you move to e-commerce, you are actually enabling to say, for example, in Tanzania, being able to make payments to your business in Kenya or to your business in Uganda or to your business in wherever you are. We are all seeing that you just use your Visa card, MasterCard, or whatever to make payments and purchase something from Amazon. So why Amazon is that prospering? It's simply because they've enabled or they've maximized the usage of online presence as well as e-commerce platforms. The quality standards and certification, again, that's another area to ensure that whatever you have is up to the standard. But to the quality and whatever certification bodies that needs to certify the quality of your item. They are also being conducted and you need to be part of them. But also having the local partnership is also another area they can consider on, as well as building more relationships, the networking, and whenever they hear the story or the presence of some kind of exhibitions or any kind of trade fairs, they have to participate. At times they just fear to be there thinking that it's for so-and-so business, but they'll be surprised. The participation fee for a certain group is even free. We have seen a number of exhibitions for women, for youth, whereby those who are members in specific groups, they are informed. So maybe another area that they need to see is belonging to a certain group or belonging to a certain association that will enable them to get this kind of information of available opportunities and will actually open up more doors. Because when it comes to partners, they look for a group. So let's say there's a partner who wants to work on the banking platform, the banking industry. Obviously, they'll come to EABA. EABA, do you have, can we partner in this area? But if it was TBA standing on their own or KBA standing on their own, yes, they'll be engaged, but TBA won't be knowing what is happening at KBA if I was not belonging to the platform that we have formed, that is the regional banking association. So being in groups, it also helps in getting more opportunities or chances from other partners, but it's easier to attract the partners on the investors because they'll be able to get to know you more. And they also need to understand the existing trade and tariff agreements within the regions, being East Africa or being at SADC or being COMESA or wherever they feel like want to expand their business. So I think I've answered this question better. Thank you.
Thank you. That was quite a comprehensive response, Madam Tusay. Someone is asking here on Twitter that we are speaking a lot about mobile payments, digital payments, interoperability, but we are not speaking to the issue of the digital divide that still exists within the region, which is, I think, a valid point being raised. Madam Tusay, what would you say about this?
Yes, I agree with that. And In one way or another, we can't avoid talking about these innovations. We cannot avoid talking about digital payments or the mobile payments. But we have a challenge, we understand, on the line of the pricing on the gadgets themselves. They are very expensive. We are all struggling to see how we can reduce this. Because for not only for Tanzania, but I believe for East African countries, all of us, we want to achieve the level of the digital economy. So how do we reach there? We need to see all the prerequisites are set. We need to ensure we have the proper or friendly regulations that will promote cheaper gadgets, but the ones that are in line with whatever requirements we need to achieve. But also we need to have cheaper solutions. Cheaper solutions meaning data has to be affordable. The airtime prices have to be affordable. But once we achieve the total interoperability, we'll also reduce the transaction cost with a very high speed, as we keep on seeing with those who are already connected. But also cybersecurity is that and more that we all need to work together. We have seen a number of issues happening through social engineering. I don't know to what extent is happening to other countries, but we have seen it happening. And a lot are being conned through social engineering. We had a lot of spam emails. People respond to those ones, but it's simply because there is a gap when it comes to knowledge and understanding. So as the East African Bankers Association, we need to push more, and that's our dream, to push more on financial literacy, to push more on this campaign of bringing awareness on what needs to be done to protect the likes of sharing of just a PIN number. People do share, they don't know. They keep their PIN numbers, maybe that mailer of the PIN number for the ATM card. They keep on moving with it in their wallet. So if somebody just grabs your wallet, they've got your PIN number, they've got your ATM card in it. So how do we secure, how do we protect ourselves when it comes to cyber crimes, but as well as increase more awareness on this space? But we can't avoid it, it's the way to go. Yeah. Thank you.
Very clear response there.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's another question here from a viewer, Nasir Salim, who is asking, we have witnessed some growth in Islamic banking across the region. However, we are not seeing stagnation due to regulatory challenges. How are the bodies assisting to spur Islamic finance in East Africa? Let me just run through the question again. We have witnessed some growth in Islamic banking across the region. However, we are not seeing stagnation due to regulatory challenges. How are the bodies, that is the associations, assisting to spur Islamic finance?
Okay, thank you. I got it. The concern raised is valid. And just to give the viewer comfort, is the national level, at the national level, we are working towards seeing, we have the regulatory framework to promote Islamic banking. We have a number of member banks who are offering that window. And for the case of Tanzania, you can see Zanzibar majority, they prefer that product. But we have other clients in here. The good thing is that product is open to everybody, not only to Islamic community, but even to whatever community they want to use it. Given the nature, it's more of a leasing nature. So somehow you see less NPLs in inverted commas compared to when it comes to hard cash credit, where it's easy to divert the use of those proceeds or the use of that credit. Now, what do we have in place? We have reached a point where at least now I can say some countries within the region have already come up with a regulation that will allow Islamic banking. But also we have made amendments even in our tax-related framework to ensure that Islamic banking is being recognized as one of the financial services. Because before, it was taken as a business or a trade because of the profit. The profit where when it comes to normal banking business is the interest. So to them, interest is profit. So that profit part was actually pushing most of the regulatory, revenue bodies to take it as a business, and they end up taxing it as a normal business transaction. So if you allow me to talk about Tanzania, what we have done so far, we have already established a gap analysis. And I'm happy to say that our regulator, that's BOT, they are driving this agenda. And with the speed they are going, I hope by end of this year, we might have the regulation or the guiding framework when it comes to Islamic banking. So we are at the advanced stage. We see there's an opportunity there. And we've seen that majority under the religious belief, they've been left out. So we don't need to see that happening anymore. So just to give the comfort, efforts are being made, and we share each other the experiences, what is happening, how did you treat this, and how did you treat this? Talking about the tax treatment, we actually borrowed from Kenya. What they've captured in their tax laws is what we borrowed and also copied to us. Now that issue has been addressed and is working perfectly. We also learned from South Africa, they have it in place. So just to assure you that we have efforts moving to see that maybe let us in the next 1 year, we should have all partner states having it in place, that this kind of our community, they need to be served based on the religious belief, and it can be done and it's possible. We see it happening already. Thank you.
Madam Tussa, you've touched on the issue of knowledge exchange across associations? Actually, that was the next question, because the question is being asked here. What are some of the best practices you are exchanging as bankers associations? And maybe you can just build on what you've already said, tapping in from South Africa, tapping in from Kenya, tapping lessons from Tanzania, and how we can strengthen the framework for bankers associations and the impact they're having on the market in the region.
Okay, thank you so much for that question. In general, what I can say, whenever we have an issue, we always call each other. How did you treat this kind of issue? How did you address this challenge? How are you doing on this area? So we have, I can say, starting with the one I talked about, the sustainable financing. That's an area where all of us, we are actually driving that agenda. We need to build the capacity for the players. We need to build the capacity for the business people. We need to build the capacity for the MSMEs. Because for us to achieve this, we need to all move together. From the country level, there have to be that will. I'm happy to see it happening that all the East African countries, there is that political will and they have a stand as a country. Coming to the business players, we have seen it happening in a number of countries. Kenya, for instance, they have all the Kenya Bankers Association members subscribe to it in public. And that is a message that was sent across to the business community as well. So that means the businesses who are now coming to borrow from the banks, they know which direction they need to do. They need to know now that when it comes to funding, I have to ensure my business is following the theme on ESG, is promoting sustainability, is considering the climate issues and all this stuff. Now, these are the areas where as our EAC Bankers Association members, we do build our capacity together. The issues when it comes to well, as we speak, there will soon be a training to be held, I think, next week in Kenya, where we'll have the training of the trainers on the AML trade issue. So you can see where we collaborate and for what purpose and for what advantage and the benefit we want to achieve. So the issues of financial inclusion is critical to us. Financial literacy is critical to us. The issues on KYC is critical, we can't avoid it, but also the agenda on ESGs and sustainable finance that is up there. The MSMEs, again, as I said, even at the EAC levels, they've signed or they have that protocol already in place. So there are a number of areas where we see happening from one country and it's worth borrowing to other countries, we always share the knowledge across. And recent, we had online sessions. It was a class of almost, 40 people from each country. We all attended the online session on sustainable financing on that. So whenever there is something that is critical, we do organize sessions. We do share the capacity to ensure we are all at a certain, at least minimum understanding on the subject matter. Yes, thank you.
Spot on explanation there. As we get to the close of our conversation, there's a question here. Is there a shared thinking and application in the region on the administration of unclaimed financial assets that fall within the regional banking regime? If so, what is the status? Really just asking around unclaimed financial assets and whether we have a framework within the region, especially because many of these would fall within the banking institution. Can you share a thought or comment on that, Madam Tusen?
Okay, thank you. At the moment, we don't have a shared framework, but one thing I can assure you is that we do talk. I recall 2 years ago, I received a call from our counterpart in Uganda. They wanted to know how do we address that challenge, and we shared how we treated that. But we believe our brothers in Kenya, they're a bit more advanced in this space. But for Tanzania, we have it, we're addressing that challenge, and whatever is being unclaimed is actually taken to the central bank. Now, how we use it, how will it be treated? That is an area that we are still debating, but it's an area that we have picked as an agenda we need to drive as industry players. But we do share ideas and see how best we can address the same. But having a common framework at the moment, we don't have it yet.
Thank you for that, Madam Tuse. That was the final question I was seeing here. Let me just take this opportunity to invite you to make your closing remarks, and then we shall wrap it up on this end.
Okay. Thank you, our viewers, and thank you, Julian, for this session. I really enjoyed the question that we asked, and I believe I was able to provide the feedback as expected to the level that will give them comfort. But talking back to the entire agenda of the session today, I just need to assure you that as the banking association across the region, our main mandate is to ensure that we do promote, we do advocate, we do facilitate the changes in line with what is happening at the minister's level, what is happening at the central bank level, but at the Bankers Association, us being the association of the banking community, it's our key role to ensure that the policies in place, they're actually fostering, they're actually supporting, they're actually promoting growth across the region. So it's our call to ensure that we move together as we keep on building the capacity, because we have seen there are some gaps in that area. So either the capacity of the players within the industries we have, but also the capacity of the MSMEs themselves, the customers that we are saving, what or how much do they know is their rights or what needs to be done for them to enjoy the existing opportunities we have within the region. The presence of the African Free Trade Area is something that we all need to grab. We can't let it go. It's our chance to boom out. It's our chance to prosper. We've been suffocating for a long, but now we thank our leaders to come with this idea, to come with this direction that I call for all of us to grab it. There is a portion to be played by either of us, whether it's an association, whether it's the client for them to grab it, whether it's the central bank. So there is a portion or there is a role for each of us to play to ensure we achieve the intended goals of the initiative to come with the African continent free trade area. But also, we are open to suggestions. So it's possible the MSMEs, they have the best ideas. They've seen the challenges faced. When you are facing a challenge, it's also opening up to ideas to come with the solution. So we are open to receiving any ideas that feel like as EAC Bankers Association, we should drive or we should advocate for a change for them to get a smoother way of doing their businesses and to ensure their growth when it comes to cross-border trade, but also to promote more financial inclusion. We need to see them more in a formal sector than the current situation where majority, they're actually being served in an informal sector. So with the help of the social media, a lot can be shared. They can access it, they've just accessed today. They can share their ideas by way of sending an email, or they can just leave a comment on Twitter or a comment on Instagram pages or even YouTube, where they can find either of us, the association bodies. Majority of us, we have the pages or the accounts in those social media. So they can use them to air the views of where their obstacle is, and together we can work together to a solution. But our dream is to see one East Africa, to see a prosperous society, to see a more friendly and I can say a bigger economy compared to where we are now. And I believe together we can reach there. Yes.
Many thanks, Madam Tuse, for your conversation this morning, giving us very crisp responses to a number of issues which are being raised, right from the role of MSMEs to value chains to cross-border payments interoperability. We really thank you for being part of this conversation this morning. Thank you to all those who have plugged in and shared your questions. We truly appreciate this, and we thank you for always coming in to give us thoughts, give us nuggets, and also prod us to think about some of the solutions we should be devising.